got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage. Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
I'm Darth Harmonic, and this is the Nerd Show. And we're going to review the Batman today.
Keep your day job, dude. Keep your day job.
I can't do it.
Oh my gosh, that was funny.
Wow. All right. Well, that's going to be on air for everyone to reference. Welcome to the Nerd Show here.
We're
going to
play that every week, by the way.
Every week?
Yes.
All right. Well, this is what happens when Micah has full control on what's recorded and not.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And by the way, I picked out the music for the Batman. We all watched the Batman at the Crest a couple weeks ago.
Who's we, Michael? We haven't introduced ourselves.
Oh, sorry. Darth Monger. Hang on.
A.K.A. Scott Maggerflesh.
Darth Monger.
Of course,
Darth Ambivalous.
That is Micah. Darth Ambivalous. Here we go. We're having a really clunky start to the show, if you couldn't tell. We're out of practice. This is what happens when we take a week off.
That's me. I'm Darth Ambivalous, and you are Darth Harmonic.
Darth Harmonic.
Which, if you hear that intro, makes what you just did at the beginning of the show even more polarizing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very much so.
What's polarizing? Are we polarized over this? Are we polarized over the Batman? I'm ready to fight.
Maybe a little bit, but not a lot. I don't think so.
As soon as the credits started rolling, I turned to Scott and I was like, this is Nerd Show approved. And I got a look on his face. And I turned to Nick and I'm like, this may not be the best Batman music, but it
music
may be
or
the
movie?
Most music.
Oh, we just went from music, movie to music.
Yeah, we did.
I don't know if it's the best Batman music, but it is the most effective in my mind.
I don't know. I want to get into that probably in segment two. We'll dive into the music. But yes, about 2 weeks ago, we all went to the Crest in downtown Greeley. If you've not been there yet, it's just this lovely, small two-theater. What would you even call this? It's a bit of everything. They've got food. They've got drinks. Yeah. They've got adult drinks, too.
Yeah.
There's a speakeasy below, which is associated with the
about
Crest.
That.
Oh, we don't speak
we don't
about
talk
it.
About that.
Oh, gosh. I spoke not too easy. But it's just a wonderful small theater in downtown Greeley, very intimate, and we all got to enjoy The Batman. Mm-hmm. I know it's not pronounced The Batman because, you know, B starts with a consonant and not, you know, that's why
it depends on where in the country you are.
The Batman.
Yeah.
And, it was long.
It was, I think, 2 hours and 56 minutes.
Yeah.
We didn't even
hours.
Stay for the credits.
Yeah.
We didn't stay for the credits.
No. See, and I liked it. I did like it. My only complaint about the movie we talked about, and we don't have to get into it right away, but it's just that one element. Well, we can. I had a really hard time with the rewrite and kind of the reboot of Bruce's parents. I didn't like that. Outside of that, I really enjoyed the film. I liked everything about it. I thought that the acting was great. I enjoyed the realism that was a part of the entire movie. I mean, we had a Batmobile that was more like a super souped-up sports car, which if anybody knows the kind of car that I drive on the weekends, you know why I like that. But there were elements in there that made it seem much more down-to-earth real life. It was not the comic Tim Burton kind of, you know, Batman. And I really, really enjoyed the whole story, everything about it, except for what they did to Tom and Martha. And that is the only thing that's really hanging me up from it, you know, being one of something that I would say I really, really enjoyed and was one of my favorite films. And maybe it's not a big enough part of it to really destroy my thoughts about it, but it bothered me. The moment that came out, it really bothered me.
So I respect what you're saying. And I know another Batman fan who has complained about certain things in the past. But I talked to someone at the Nerd Store, and I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. I know it begins with an M. It's possibly Miranda. And she has said in the comics, in several different comics, there have been Batman, his parents haven't always been the good, upstanding citizens. So I am often used to the movies where they're portrayed as good people. This is the first movie that I have seen where they're not portrayed as good people. So maybe we're just now seeing a different comics version of them.
Right. And I would understand that, but it doesn't mean I have to like it. And I think even if I had been much more exposed to the comics and everything else, I still think I would have that. I believe that the whole Batman origin story works so much better when his parents are what we've seen in the films, that they are literally these salt of the earth individuals that are really trying to pick Gotham up, you know, from the bottom, and everything about their words and their actions and their efforts are very true and are very where they should be. But then you have, you know, what happened to him makes it a tragic story. And I think that just kind of, I don't know. That was the thing that went sideways for me. And it was, if that had not happened, I think, Mike, I would have given you a stamp of approval the moment the credits rolled. So,
and it did throw me off too.
Yeah.
I agree. I prefer a good upstanding citizens as parents, but it did not affect my judgment of the movie. I'm trying to look at it as it's an alternate Batman, and certain Batmans are going to have certain reactions, and this isn't a deal breaker for me because this is not the same Batman as Nolan's Batman. This isn't the 1960s Batman. This isn't Batman 92, the brilliant cartoon. This isn't Nolan's Batman. This is completely different. This is more a Batman as a detective, not as just a superhero. This is him as a detective.
Oh, he's not a superhero. I wouldn't put Batman as a superhero.
He's a superhero.
He's a vigilante who has a lot of money. He's not enhanced. He's not a super soldier or anything.
They're all vigilantes.
Healy is a superhero, but I don't know. When I see superhero, I envision somebody who's enhanced in some way. Yeah. His enhancement is his money.
And his brain.
Well.
He's a really smart man who knows how to prepare.
So is Bill Gates a superhero? He's got a good brain.
It depends on...
Einstein?
Well, we won't... Einstein, maybe.
Churchill? Are they superheroes? They had great brains. I'm just challenging you here, Micah.
Oh, I don't that's think something Batman... to get off the air, because we only have a couple minutes left in this segment and half the next segment. But Nick, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I enjoyed the film. It was entertaining. To me, I was told, maybe I went into this preconceived notion of, oh, it's a three-hour film, but you won't be able to tell. I could tell. It lagged to me. It was a slow build throughout. It didn't do what most movies do, is they really catch you in that like middle act of like, hey, this is the apex. Now we have to have some tumultuous actions happen. Then it builds back up to an epic finale. It didn't do that. It was a slow build every single time. And I didn't dislike it, but it kind of caught me off guard. I agree with Scott. I didn't like their interpretation of Bruce Wayne's parents. And to me, the thing that sticks out the most, I love the Riddler. I thought that was such a good character to have here. And
agreed.
It was a very cynical and sinister villain. You know, it wasn't the Jim Carrey Riddler that we get that's just laughing and joking. It's maniacal. And that's what's more scary than anything else, is just the maniac behind the Riddler and his upbringing.
I haven't seen a lot of Riddlers in the movie other than Jim Carrey. I've seen the Riddler in Batman 92. This was a great Riddler. Paul Dano, I think it's Dano, not Dano. Paul Dano did an amazing job. He almost stole the show. I liked Catwoman. She's my favorite Catwoman. But Paul Dano was excellent. If they gave out awards to nerd movies, he would win an award.
I don't think he was that great. I think he was great for the role, but I don't think it stood out to me than some of the other villains I've seen in superhero movies.
You know, I thought it was really good. And the one thing that I've been mulling over is, I think the other thing that bothered me is they shrunk the universe. So if you think about it, why do you have to have Carmine Falcone is now, you know, he had his life saved by, you know, by Thomas Wayne, and so there's the connection. And then why do you also have to have him, that Selina Kyle is his daughter? And I thought, you know, you've got this gigantic city
and the
of
Penguin
Gotham,
who's working for Falcone.
You know, and you got the Penguin that's working for Falcone. So it kind of took what I thought was a very amazing ensemble, and it kind of made them a part of, like, this, you know, three family origin. And it, for me, it was elements of that where it was like we had great opportunity, but we tried to tie everybody together too much in this, you know, in this storyline that should be, you know, Gotham City and the crime and everything else that's going on. And out of all of that, you literally can pick three families and go, it all revolves around them.
It's the Godfather meets Gangs of New York, except it's Gangs of Gotham.
Yeah, I get that. And I kind of agree with that. I didn't need Catwoman to have a her father be the man trying to run the whole city.
Right.
But I did like Paul Dano as the Riddler. The guy who played Penguin was really good.
Agreed.
Why can't I remember his name? He's an Irish dude.
Good question. I don't. To me, one of the other biggest things that I had an issue with, again, overall the film was enjoyable. I'd watch it again.
I would too.
I would probably buy it.
Robert Pattinson did a much Pattinson did a much better Batman than I thought he would do, and a much better Bruce Wayne, too. But my biggest critique when the Nolan Batmans came out, this is why I did the voice at the beginning of the show, everyone is ticked off that Batman's voice was like this. I mean, it was much better than what I just did again.
Yeah. But those were stupid criticisms.
That's how Robert Pattinson did it, and that's how Gordon did it. They spoke to each other in those dark, deep whispers the entire film.
Can we really quickly talk about Gordon? First of all, that actor has played Batman in the past in a cartoon. And second, what my favorite Gordon.
I don't know, I think my favorite Gordon. Gordons have always been strong, though, in the Batman universe. Yeah. So it's hard to pin one up against the other. Same with, like, Alfred's. Although, you can't really beat
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, yeah. He was just the perfect Alfred. And we didn't get much Alfred at all. Granted, I don't know if this is going to be a trilogy. I don't know if this is a kickstart to a new universe. But
I don't think it's a new universe. I think they're going to make probably three. And it's just going to be three of Batman. They're not going to spread. They might make maybe another Catwoman movie, but...
Are you just pulling this out of nowhere, or do you have data?
I've heard rumors.
Okay.
Sorry.
Rumors. All right. Stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll go into a very significant piece of music in the next segment with Batman, then our overall final thoughts and whether it gets a stamp of approval. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Nerd Show here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Proudly brought to you by Right Coast Pizza in downtown Greeley. Micah's playing his favorite music from here, but what we're going to talk about, at least I will briefly on this portion, is a piece of music that appeared three times throughout the film as its own original, like, self, and that is Schubert's Ave Maria. You know, and if you don't know me or don't follow Nick Snacks, also on 103.1 and 1310, I am the CEO of the Greeley Philharmonic. So this piece of music stuck out to me from the moment that the audience first sat down to watch The Batman. And it's Ave Maria, you know, beautiful. It was performed by the Tiffin Boys' choir, a world-renowned choir in London. But it's there as somebody's heavily breathing and just spying on these individuals who don't know who they are. But Ave Maria, for those who don't know, Micah, can you pull that up so they can get that in their ear for the rest of their segment? So I'm not going to embarrass myself singing as I just, you know, did my Batman voice and everything else. Here we go. Schubert's Ave Maria. So this, of course, is Ave Maria by Schubert, and it appears three different times in the film. And what I connected with, and I was trying to figure out why this piece of music, because it's very rare for a movie composer to take a theme that's not their own and have it play throughout the course of the film. Of course, I couldn't figure it out during the film, so I had to do some Googling afterwards, because I was just kind of fascinated with what Michael Giacchino was doing. But what I did notice is early on, it's very major. It's very happy. Yep. It's very uplifting. Mm-hmm. And then every time that kept reappearing and recurring throughout the movie, it got darker and darker. So if we get into some music talk here, there's the first six notes, Ave Maria. It's just very, you know, positive. But that Maria, that top note, starts turning minor. as the Riddler becomes more of a prominent figure in this movie. So it comes very, very dark. And it just sounds ominous and creepy and unusual. And I felt that fit very well for the Riddler and his character. And the thing I thought was most shocking was he actually whistles that theme.
Yeah.
Only once has this happened in cinematic history. Well, at least that I know. And that was in Die Hard, where the villain's humming or whistling their own theme.
Yeah, see, you're forgetting Hudson Hawk.
Well, I haven't seen
it. Well, it wasn't the theme, but in Hudson Hawk, they do all sorts of different, when they're pulling jobs, they're trying to figure out how long it's going to take them to do that, and they pick songs that have that exact same length, and those are the songs that they whistle or sing or hum as they're doing their thing. Anyways, we can talk about that at a different time.
Well, that adds on to what I'm learning and knowing. It'd be like if Darth Vader came in the entrance of A New Hope and just sang dun, 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 dun. But he was whistling it, and it was all dark and minor. It was that minor key that just sounded ominous. But I like the connection because there's a boys' choir singing it when it first opens up, the movie. And then we learn later on that the Riddler's character was in the choir where the Waynes were making a big donation right before they were killed. And then, of course, that's why he's got that issue with the Wayne family, because the money just got dispersed throughout the city and not actually to that orphanage where they were supposed to benefit from. So that's his chip on the shoulder with the Wayne family. But I just thought it was so interesting and so brilliantly crafted by Michael Giacchino, and how they used that music, how it kicked off the film with a boys choir to have a reference of him being in the boys choir at the orphanage, still with Ave Maria, and then that being his, you know, theme song. Well, not necessarily his theme song, but Michael Giacchino wove that in to the Riddler's theme, continued throughout the film, and it was very minor, very dark, very ominous, and I thought that was just brilliant. I go into movies a lot more critical on the musical standpoint, and I thought that was just a slam dunk for Michael Giacchino. I don't know if I'd agree with Micah and say that was the most effective score. I'd have to sit down, because I've had, you know, 12, 13 years to dissect Hans Zimmer's Christopher Nolan series, and I, you know, feel like I know that pretty well. So,
well, I love what Hans Zimmer and James Newton Howard did in that, well, not the full trilogy. James Newton Howard only helped with the first two. But I just think that this one is more effective. Not necessarily better, because I think all of them are in their own right pretty good.
And they're all independent films, just like they're all independent stories and movies. But when it comes down to the classical aspect, the history of this piece of music, Ave Maria, you know, it's translated to Hail Mary in English, is a piece of music that's used mostly in funerals.
Mm-hmm.
And the appearance of this song throughout the film, it's eerie because, well, you know, you have that dramatic funeral scene with the Batman. And it almost foreshadowed all those characters. When Ave Maria popped up for the mayor, for all those others who started dying throughout the film, Ave Maria was in some way either sung, you know, in that nice major Schubert way we know, or it was kind of preemptive with Michael Giacchino's, you know, darker side, the Riddler theme-ish. So going back into that movie, you know, when I watch it again, I'm going to pay really extra attention to that piece of music and see how spot on they were. But I thought it was an incredible choice of music, a wonderful classical music that he used and then wove that into to the Riddler's theme.
So, guys, we have two Nerd Show stamp of approvals to vote on: music and the movie itself. Music. Do you guys think Nerd Show stamp of approval?
Oh, I can't go into that yet. I haven't listened to it independently. You're throwing too much at me, Micah, to make a decision, and I don't think it'd be informed enough, so I have to abstain.
Nerd Show stamp of approval.
Well, he's just going to go do it anyway.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you have control of the buttons.
I will abstain from, you know, from taking over. You guys, what do you think? Between the three of us, is this a Nerd Show stamp of approval?
You know, for the movie, I'm going to say yes. I know originally I said no, but after we discussed it and kind of talked about it and I thought about it more, I don't like the element that they added for the parents, but it definitely doesn't detract from the movie. It detracted from what I thought Batman should be, but according to the movie, it actually fit and it was perfect. So I'm changing my opinion, and it does get my vote. Yes.
Nick, what do you think?
I would watch again. So yes, stamp of approval for me.
And this is my favorite Batman movie to date.
Nerd Show stamp of approval.
We have We have about a minute to talk right now in this segment, and we'll leak it into the next segment about our 2022 top 32 sci-fi movies. This is based on Empire Magazine's list, which came out in January of this year. So, Scott,
yeah,
you helped create the bracket.
I did.
Can we start taking a look at the first bracket?
You said we only have 1 minute. We're not going to get to this in one minute.
Well, we have to start.
Well, the first bracket, and again, I did it based off of the top 32. So the top four teams were the number one seed in the bracket. So your first bracket, you've got Blade Runner versus Star Trek The Wrath of Khan, Arrival versus Looper, Aliens versus Interstellar, and then 2001 A Space Odyssey versus Solaris.
Now, we're not going to complain at all about which movies didn't get on.
You had to bring that up. We know where you stand, Micah.
We just want to say that these are all based off of Empire.
They're based off of theirs. And we did go ahead and give everybody the opportunity to add in a Cinderella story as the number eight in the four bracket seeds. And I believe, Micah, you did that. So that's good. But
that was our first bracket.
Yeah.
Probably the next bracket. So coming up in the next segment, we will discuss a little further. You're listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Welcome back to The Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. Here we're talking about our brackets. We are in kind of the final few days of March Madness as we're winding down. I'll say I haven't watched one game, but the UNC Bears did pretty well. Go Bears.
Well, okay, so they're, yeah.
They're long gone, I know.
But they were NIT, right?
Yes. They were in one of them.
They were. They were not in the NCAA.
Not in the big one.
Not in the big dance.
It was still fun to watch, though.
But we've got the Final Four set, and so there was a Cinderella story. A number 15 made it all the way to the Elite Eight, which I thought was kind of cool. And
very cool.
And so now you've got, I believe it's a number one, two number twos, and a number eight are in the Final Four. Because I know it's Duke, UNC, Kansas, and I can't, is St. Petersburg or something like that?
Something.
Yeah. Guys, I can tell you that one of my number eights makes it to the Final Four here.
And I believe that they do.
Yeah.
So.
And it's my fill-in-the-blank number eight.
As it should be. I mean, your Cinderella should be able to get there. So,
do you guys have Blade Runner or Star Trek Wrath of Khan?
Blade Runner.
I do, too.
Yeah.
What about Arrival and Looper?
I've got Arrival.
All right. I did Looper.
I did Arrival as well.
Yeah.
Aliens versus Interstellar.
That was a tough one.
It was.
I didn't think so. I thought Aliens definitely won that one.
Aliens is special to me because, I grew up, it was one of those scariest movies I watched as a kid. But I don't like Matthew McConaughey, but I really enjoyed Interstellar.
I enjoyed Interstellar.
And the music was good.
I just thought Aliens was better. And then the last one, we had 2001 versus Solaris.
2001. If anyone didn't put down 2001, I'm angry at you.
Yeah. Nope.
I had that.
Hey, I had
the
Aliens.
The Greeley Philharmonic
versus...
Orchestra is kicking off their final concert with that piece
really?
On May 7th.
Yeah.
Nice. I had Aliens losing to 2001 A Space Odyssey, which I have going up against Blade Runner, which was quite a battle for me.
Yeah. Mine wasn't quite. I was Blade Runner versus Aliens.
Really?
Yep. That was my, when you get into the Elite Eight, and then Aliens for me actually edged out Blade Runner ever so slightly to get into the Final Four.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I never would have seen that coming. What about you,
Nick? I really like Blade Runner, but I just was like, for me, Aliens just had too much amazing stuff in it, so.
I'm still kind of torn on the Aliens and Interstellar stuff, but Aliens did go on to my Final Eight.
And then against?
Jurassic Park.
Really?
Yes.
Jurassic Park went all the way. So Jurassic Park is a
sixth. That was my Final Four.
Oh.
But yes.
See, I didn't have Jurassic Park going over E.T. I had E.T. beating Jurassic Park.
That was hard.
Yeah, I did the same.
That was really difficult for me.
Wait, so you had Jurassic Park beating A New Hope.
I did.
What about Terminator versus Ex Machina, which I enjoyed Ex Machina?
Terminator went on and then got beat by Alien.
Yep, I had the same.
So I had Alien going down to The Day the Earth Stood Still, the 1950 movie. And I had The Day the Earth Stood Still moving on to beat A New Hope.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. That's how much I think that The Day the Earth Stood Still was so relevant, was so influential.
Mm-hmm.
It influenced a lot of directors. It influenced a lot of composers. It's not my favorite movie on this list. But I think it was so influential.
You give some of those bonus points. I think that's why I'm partial to Jurassic Park. I love both the music to E.T. and Jurassic Park. They're incredible. John Williams, Steven Spielberg, both of them. The stories are, virtually flawless. But for me, Jurassic Park was the first movie I saw in films as a kid. I think I was 5 years old, and it was awesome. I fell in love with dinosaurs. And then now, looking back on the great series called The Movies That Made Us, if it hadn't been for Industrial Light and Magic and those brilliant minds at Lucasfilm, we would not have the Jurassic Park that we have. So it was hard for me to choose between Jurassic Park and A New Hope. A New Hope revolutionized a lot, but Jurassic Park was the first revolutionary, kind of, I don't want to say CGI because it wasn't all CGI, but that's what edged out A New Hope just barely.
I'm gonna change my bracket a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm actually not going to put The Day the Earth Stood Still on this side. I'm going to put it on the other side instead of Minority
Report. You're manipulating.
Wow,
you're manipulating.
I'm changing my mind.
You can't just go, I'm in this conference.
I'm changing my mind.
Well, and it's funny, Nick, you talked about that first movie, because for me, that's why E.T. made it. Because I remember seeing E.T. in the theaters in Hutchinson, Kansas, and my little brother Brad was in the movie with us, and it was my mom and my brother and I. And I remember, just as the lights go down, we're getting ready to watch the movie, and my brother says, and he was probably 3 or 4 at the time, he's like, I hope this isn't rated R. And my mom was so embarrassed. But I remember, I have so many good feelings about that movie. I love Jurassic Park too, but at the end of the day, I had to go with, what did my heart say? And I said E.T., kind of made it there. And so that was where we got. But I had Alien versus A New Hope at the end of that bracket to get into the final four. And, for me, all the reasons that you gave for Star Wars, A New Hope made it into the final four.
Mm-hmm. I have the 2001 A Space Odyssey now beating A New Hope to go into my championship.
Okay, you're getting too far ahead, Micah.
I'm sorry. I had to do it.
No, you didn't. Well, you could have, but you got to wait. We got a
I'm
whole
sorry.
Other
I'll
side
I'll
of the bracket
wait,
first.
But I do have 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Okay.
Going up against A New Hope.
Right.
Now, we got to go to the other side of the bracket.
We do. Yeah.
The Empire Strikes Back versus The Fly. I've never seen The Fly, but The Empire Strikes Back, the way it ends that whole movie, I'm sorry, The Fly has no chance.
Yeah, it doesn't. And
The Fly had no chance after the probe droids being released after the first moment.
No, it was
moment.
Yeah. Okay, so then the next group that we have is Close Encounters of the Third Kind against Metropolis.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind all day and night.
See, and I went Metropolis.
Oh, I love the music to Close Encounters. I love
No, the music is fantastic, everything else, but you Metropolis, you talk about The Day the Earth Stood Still, and I think if that would have been in my bracket, it would have gone a long way. That's another one, man. That movie was made way before its time, and there was just so many elements of that got into it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Do you guys have the thing going over Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
I don't.
I do.
I do.
Really?
I'm the oddball.
Yeah. No,
I love
and that's
Guardians.
Okay.
Guardians
is a fun movie, but I still think the thing and the stuff that John Carpenter did back then was just pretty amazing. So it got there. And then, of course, this one killed me. Terminator 2 and then Blade Runner 2049.
This was obvious for me. T2 over Blade Runner
and
2049.
I picked the same. But I still loved both of the Blade Runner movies. I mean, they probably are both in my top 10, which my bracket doesn't reflect, but it's because of who they're going up against.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Same. Terminator 2 goes
Terminator 2 was so amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Matrix versus Minority Report.
Matrix.
Same.
And I have the Matrix going down.
Okay, Micah, you're jumping ahead again. Come on, man.
We got Moon versus RoboCop.
No,
is this original
Minority
RoboCop?
Report. Minority Report is gone. I have The Day the Earth Stood Still. Sorry,
okay.
I switched it.
So you switched it. All right. So that's why it's there. All right. So you switched it.
And I grew up loving RoboCop. That was like the TNT special when I was a kid when we had cable ever so briefly.
Yeah. No, now, The Moon was good. I actually watched it.
The Moon was great.
It's a great movie, and it's all, there's a little bit of that mind flip towards the end when you realize that he's a clone and there's a whole bunch of clones and then his original still alive. So, I thought it was good, but RoboCop beat it. And then
this one was tough for me.
Inception versus Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes.
I put Inception.
I did Inception as well.
I figured you guys would.
I
had Planet of the Apes, but I think you probably would both agree that Back to the Future beats Annihilation.
I did. Back to the Future beat Annihilation. Yep.
Did.
But I have Planet of the Apes going forward beating Back to the Future.
I have Back to the Future going to my final eight.
See, and I had Inception beating Back to the Future going up against The Matrix in my my Elite Eight.
Ooh, yeah, Back to the Future and The Matrix. So if we're going to go on, I have Back to the Future up. Well, we got to go up to the top bracket.
Yeah.
Empire versus I had Close Encounters. I have Empire going to my final four.
So did I.
So do I. I hate to say it, but Empire has to.
Empire. So, okay, so what's your final four, Micah?
My final four is Empire, A New Hope, 2001 A Space Odyssey, and The Day the Earth Stood Still. So obviously I'm more a fan of the old stuff, apparently.
Well, no, that's
okay. At least I feel like it's more influential.
Well, and see, and I've got older and new. I've got Aliens versus A New Hope, and I've got Empire Strikes Back up going up against The Matrix in my final four. Nick?
I've got Aliens going against Jurassic Park and Empire going against Back to the Future.
Interesting. So there's some commonalities in all of our brackets with the one movie in all of ours in the final four.
Yeah.
We all have Empire in our final four.
Well, should we go down to our final two each?
I don't know. How much time do we got left?
We got about a minute left.
We got a minute.
Let's come back to the next segment. We'll have a longer last segment to see where we are.
We'll finish that up, and then we can touch on Picard. But I want to touch on something Micah said real quick. You talked about influence. The Day the Earth Stood Still. The three words that they say in there to activate, Klaatu, Barada, Nikto, those are the names of the guards on Jabba's sail barge in Return of the Jedi. So you talk about influence, Micah. There you go.
Wow, and ROTJ wasn't even in this bracket, but we got a nice nod to Star Wars. Stay tuned to see how our brackets wind up after this brief break. Welcome back to the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We've been chatting about our brackets, our nerdy March Madness bracket. We started with 32 movies of the most popular sci-fi movies of all time based on Empire Magazine's list that was released on January 31st of 2022. Again, this was not our list, but this is kind of fun. We'll have to do more of these as we move forward, especially specific categories. How can we do an entire Marvel Cinematic Universe alone? It might be, 16 movies. I can adjust brackets because I host a rock, paper, scissors tournament. It'd be really easy, but we'll stay tuned to the Nerd Show and what we got coming up. Yeah. All right, so just as a recap, our final four apiece. Micah, you go first. What are your final four?
My final four, The Day the Earth Stood Still, 2001, A Space Odyssey, and both Star Wars movies, A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
All right, Scott.
So I've got Aliens up against A New Hope. And then Empire Strikes Back up against Matrix for my final four. And Nick?
I've got Aliens versus Jurassic Park and Empire against Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. So there's
these are all valid.
They're good movies, and I love the fact that the one movie that, I don't want to give anything away, but there's one movie in there that all three of us have in our final four. So then...
All right, I'll start with
Go for it.
Jurassic Park takes out Aliens for me, so I have Jurassic Park going to the final.
I would have put that down, too.
With Empire.
Yeah. I think if, based on those two movies, I would do the exact same. Okay, and so you got Empire beating Inception.
Micah, Back to the Future.
Or Back to the Future, sorry. Mm-hmm. Micah, what do you got?
I have 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Going up against?
Against The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Wow.
There's... You know what? There's just some kind of... I actually, to get my champion, I had to do a coin flip. And special thanks to Tanner Schwint, who helped me out with that coin flip.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't want to flip it myself.
Yeah, that... Interesting.
I'd hate to see you taking a true or false exam.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
I don't know if you can do
dude,
it.
Dude, I am so bad at those. Yeah. I am awful at true false.
Yeah. See, and I think, those that know me would not be surprised that I ended up with A New Hope against Empire Strikes Back in my championship game.
Which isn't fair, but I like it.
I know, but that's how it played out. There's a number of different matchups. Had they gone differently, then A New Hope probably doesn't make the final four, but it's just the way it filled out. And then, my champion of all time is going to be Empire Strikes Back because that's just me. And so you, Micah, and your champion was?
Can you guys guess?
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which, one that wasn't even on the bracket.
Wasn't even on, won the whole thing, but that was...
You guys heard me complaining.
Yeah, we heard it from the day one at Right Coast when we talked about this bracket.
So, Micah, let me ask you this. If the day the earth stood still would not have been in your bracket, who would have won?
Probably 2001 Space Odyssey.
Okay.
I did agonize over a few of them, but this, you know, this is actually a really good idea. Like, I like some of these lists. I find that some of these lists are depending on who's writing, are a little more biased towards newer age movies. I feel like sometimes they haven't watched the older movies, and then sometimes I haven't watched the newer movies, so I have to criticize myself.
Sure.
But, you know, that's just what I came up with. Yeah.
No, it's good.
This is all opinion, so you guys are wrong.
No,
Sorry. Now we got to move on to Picard.
An observation. Micah, if we do these brackets again, are you always going to write in and replace the one that you want to win to go in?
I didn't know I wanted to win until I started filling it out.
But just to be fair, you actually redid your bracket on air so that they could get all the way to the final and win. So,
I didn't know at the time when I was putting it on that I would have had it win.
That's interesting.
I thought it should be in the top 10.
And somehow it ended up winning it all. That's kind of crazy.
You know, I like that when I'm gambling, Mike. Yeah. I'd like for him to be in the top 10. I'm going to just move him over here.
I'm just going to move him over here, and then I'll win the whole thing.
Wow, look at me. Yeah. Look at Duke doing so well.
Okay, so jumping ahead, we've had a couple weeks of Picard to absorb and watch. And, you know, I think it's interesting that it's taken a little bit of a turn. And it's gotten really, really relevant in kind of today's environment. And I don't know. I'm a little bit curious. Micah, what are your thoughts?
Well, do you guys remember a few weeks ago how I complained about writing and how I was afraid the writing
doesn't sound like you at all.
Not
Micah
going
complaining?
To be Star Trek writing?
Yep.
This was not Star Trek writing.
No.
This was not hiding an issue inside the story. Yeah. This was beating you over the head
with it, yep.
With not just one issue, but I think there were four or five just in one episode.
Yeah.
And the second one was even worse than the first one. And I'm like, this is not what Star Trek writing is supposed to be, because Star Trek talks to everybody.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to upset people to the point of that I'm not going to watch. It's supposed to make you think. But I know some people who are very on the right who love Star Trek even more than me. Like this, they really, really botched these last two episodes, especially the character Guinan.
Yeah, that was disappointing to me.
So they went back in time to
2024.
Blah 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 blah. Some stuff happened. Yep. Picard meets Guinan, and Guinan is jaded, and she's tired of humanity destroying themselves, and she's not the character that we know. And not in a compelling, like, oh my God, this is a good turn. This is not her character at all. This is a completely different character.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way, because it's like, you know, this is supposed to be, you know, a character that is beloved.
She's wise. She's got this wisdom that's built into her. Every time she was in The Next Generation.
Yeah.
She was there to not tell you what the answer was, but she was there to be a guide, to help you make the right decision.
Well, and we even saw that at the beginning of this series. I mean, this season.
Yeah.
You know, when we see that and he shows up at the bar and you know, so yeah, I think it's, for me, I'm having an issue because it's sort of like, okay, so this is supposed to be a creature that lives for, or a species that lives for thousands of years.
And suddenly she's jaded. No.
And so now all of a sudden, you know, maybe in her, I can't think of an, because I don't know exactly how long she's been alive. So
I don't think, so Picard actually met her before in the series. They've met before. They met in the 1800s or 19, sorry, I think 1900s.
So like
whenever Samuel Clemens was.
So he had gone back in time in some other event, and she was there then.
Yeah, it was an okay episode.
So okay, so that So that bothers me on a couple reasons, because for one,
it ruined continuity.
Yeah, then shouldn't she have recognized Picard the moment he walked into the bar?
Yeah, she should have.
And so there was that.
It was stupid.
Now she's gone through all of human history, and she decides now in the early 2000s that she's going to abandon them?
Yeah.
I was not a fan.
Yeah, it made me really angry. The only good thing about that scene is there's a cameo from a dude that I actually absolutely loved. I actually paused it just to go to IMDb to see if that was actually him, and it was. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You're going to have to watch the show.
You're going to have to watch it and see.
Or we'll spoil it next week on The Nerd Show. All new Nerd Show next week on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Thanks for tuning in. Nerds, you stay nerdy.